Ron will. I'm just looking up the agenda. Hold on. I thought I had a download. I do apologize.
JP came back. Hi, JP.
Right, JP, you're about this? Okay, good. So we'll start the meeting. It is now 3:03, Thursday, June 12th. And we are the HIV Community Planning Council's membership committee meeting. We'll do introductions first. I am Ron Hernandez, one of the co-chairs for this committee.
I'm Elaine
Lang.
Flores. Hi, Kevin. I'm Elaine Flores, part of the co-chair here for membership.
Manuel.
Hi, everyone. Manuel Vasquez. I am a co-chair or committee, not a co-chair anymore. Thank you. Sorry.
Robert.
Hi, Robert here, founding council member.
And JP.
JP Soto, planning council member. Hello.
Okay, and what about staff? Introduce yourselves.
Kira, council staff.
Pat, council staff.
Mark, council staff.
All right, anybody else? Okay, welcome. Okay, let's go and review the draft agenda for today.
All right. So we have a couple of things on the agenda for today. We have our regular review and approve the agenda and minutes, and then we also are going to be reviewing a prospective member application. Then we have a couple of notice of attendances to be sent, as well as a letter of probation. There are currently leave of absences. And then we
can
will
you,
all, oh, go ahead.
Can you enlarge it a little, Kira?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Give me one.
It's a little larger. There you go. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Are there any changes or additions to this agenda? All right. So I guess with consensus, it's approved. We'll go on to reviewing the minutes from last month. I think under attendance there, other present should be Nico, right? Or Nikos.
I will update that.
Others present, yeah, not committee.
Okay. Any changes anyone sees? It looks good. We're going to approve it by consensus. All right, it's approved. Any announcements, folks?
Just wanted to remind everyone that steering will be next Wednesday, the 18th, instead of Thursday because of the Juneteenth holiday.
Okay. Well, can you send a reminder just in case?
Yeah, I'm going to be out of town, so I won't be making it either day.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Yeah.
Well, Elaine, are you going to be there?
Yeah, that's why I wanted. Yeah, you got it. Just wanted to let you guys all know that Marin County had their community forum, and was very successful. We had a good little outcome, which was great. A lot of feedback from everything, and it was just really nice. And thank you for all your participation, as in, of course, always when we have these forums, you guys always provide the food. So thank you. But it was really great. It was a great outcome, and the feedback was wonderful. Thank you.
Robert, you have an announcement?
Yes, I think just double checking that the next membership committee is on Thursday, the 10th of July.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. I unfortunately will be out of town at that time.
Right.
But I will be in town for the full council meeting.
Okay, I will note that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. Any other announcements? Okay, we'll move on to staff updates.
Just an update in advance of the review of Leroy Blaise or Blaya application. This is a special circumstance. It's actually, I don't know if it's unique or if it's actually the case for any other government appointees. So if you recall, Chris Kent was our State Office of AIDS rep. He disappeared. And we have now received our new State Office of AIDS rep, whose application you'll be reviewing. The difference is that this council member doesn't get interviewed. So you'll be reviewing the application and then approving or not approving, I suppose, although that would be a challenge if it was not approved. And this is also a virtual only member as well. And so again, we'll be reviewing, and then if you approve this month, hopefully, so we can get our state office / Part B rep back on board.
Okay, so we approve it to move over to the full council to finalize. All right.
Yeah, without an interview.
Okay. Good to me. So are we going to look at that application now?
Or are we there? Carol, would you like to share and review? Yeah. And you may recall, I've heard both Leroy and Leroy, which is, of course, classier. So I'm not sure the pronunciation. I guess we'll hear that when he joins us. Gosh, I forgot what I was going to say. How terrible. I'm sorry. I'm sure I'll remember it. Oh, now I remember. You may recall him. Oh, I'm doubled. You may recall him from a couple presentations he's already done. So he's appeared before the council with our blueprint.
Can folks see that?
Yes.
All right.
So he's coming in from Berkeley. Will he be a attending person?
Wait, what's happening with the audio?
I think it's Kira's screen. I think she needs to mute you on hers.
So this is a position that has how do we stop this? Terrible.
Let's just mute everybody.
So this is a position that is coming literally from the State Office of AIDS. They do not allow travel. So I'm not sure where he's based out of. State Office of AIDS itself is based out of Sacramento. So occasionally they have appeared in person, but for the most part, virtual. Okay.
Did the audio get fixed?
Yeah, the audio seems to be coming from whenever you share screen. I'm not sure why.
I think you have to share, you have to mute the person on your end, Kira. Not necessarily mute your computer, but mute the person who's talking on your end, I think.
Okay.
It's strange, though, because that box within a box appeared, and that doesn't appear when I share screen.
Do you want me to share it, Kira?
Yeah, I was like, huh, something's happening. All right, so we have, this is Leroy's application. And so we'll just go through it a little bit. Leroy does work for Ending the Epidemics, specifically for the Office of AIDS. So like Mark mentioned, this would be filling the seat. So under what is your gender? Leroy checked male. He goes by he, him, his pronouns. He does identify as gay. we would be helping our Latino, Latina, Latinx demographic. He does identify as someone who is HIV negative, user of HIV prevention services, but who is also a member of an identified high-risk, special, or highly impacted population. He is able to represent the interests of Ryan White Part B administrator. All right, and then quickly moving on to bio. So Leroy wrote, I am the newly appointed representative for the state Ryan White Part B administrator. I have over 30 years of experience working to help communities and organizations improve HIV prevention, healthcare, and health policy, including 14 years in senior public health leadership as an AIDS director, STD controller. Currently, he serves as the Ending the Epidemics Manager at the California Department of Public Health Office of AIDS, helping to plan and implement statewide activities to accelerate progress towards ending the HIV, STI, and HCV syndemic in California. He did receive his BA and MPH from UC Berkeley. His master's thesis examined case studies of people living with HIV exiting from prison and the broader social and environmental reasons linked to health outcomes after release. His current professional interests include program and community capacity building to improve HIV, STI, HCV health outcomes, especially at the intersection of drug user health, mental health, and housing security. He has also served as a volunteer cook on Saturdays for the nonprofit Berkeley organization, Dorothy Day House, serving people experiencing homelessness. He teaches public health and sexual medicine with the consulting firm Project Prepare, and he is a registered substance use disorder counselor with experience working with those most affected by the methamphetamine and opioid epidemics in California and in the San Francisco EMA. And then lastly, he is on the board of directors of the nonprofit Alcohol Justice, a statewide advocacy organization based in Marin County that helps to reduce alcohol and tobacco-related harm in California, especially to youth. So a lot of experience. As to why he's interested in joining the council, as he mentioned before, he is a newly appointed representative for the state Ryan White Part B administrator. The work of the HCPC and other local implementation groups across California are all part of a critical part of the effectiveness of HIV work and why we are able to aim towards getting to zero HIV deaths, zero HIV stigma, and zero new HIV infections in California. He is honored to be the Part B representative from the California Department of Public Health Office of AIDS. And then I think it cut off, but he also wrote, I have over 30 years of experience working to help communities and organizations improve HIV prevention, healthcare, and health policy, including 14 years in senior public health leadership as an AIDS director, STD controller. And he has linked every program he has ever administered with evaluation research. As for participation in community planning or health planning processes, he wrote, I have over 15 years of direct experience working on and with HIV commissions, councils, and planning groups throughout California. This work also included serving as a community co-chair of Oakland HIV Planning Council from 1998 to 2001. For life experience, he wrote, I am a gay Latinx cisgendered male in recovery and user of HIV, STI, HCV prevention services in California. He was born in rural New Mexico in an area famous for black tar heroin overdoses and miracles. He moved to and was raised in East LA until he moved to the Bay Area to attend UC Berkeley. And he has dedicated his career to social justice work and is very grateful to the community. For other skills and expertise, he wrote, I am a skilled facilitator, health planner, community organizer, and outreach worker, and a good cook. For the activities he's currently engaged to in relation to HIV or / AIDS service providers or organizations, he wrote, I'm currently the Ending the Epidemics Manager with the California DPH, Office of AIDS, and he is a newly appointed Part B Administrator Representative for all Part A planning councils, commissions, and groups in California. He did provide two references there, and then he signed. So is there any discussion or thoughts about Leroy?
I like how he's already involved with the ending epidemic.
He sounds great. Plus, he's also family of East LA, which I was from East LA too. So,
yeah, it sounds like he has a lot of experience and even some experience with planning council in the past.
Manuel, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a clarification point. So I heard Mark say this person will probably never attend in person. So we are making an exception for certain members, because I know my name is on the notice of attendance to be sent that will be coming up. And I just wanted to ask, like, we are making exceptions for certain people.
Yeah, absolutely. I can go over those exceptions right now. So I mentioned the exception for him. He works for the State Office of AIDS, and they bar travel. They do not allow travel expenses. And so he is not allowed to actually go travel to all of the EMAs and TGAs and the various councils that he has been appointed to serve on. So that's a special dispensation for this particular seat, because this particular seat is usually a person, actually in our experience, has always been a person who lives outside of the area. So that's one special dispensation for this seat only. The other special dispensation per California policy is if a person is suffering from a life-threatening illness like cancer, that actually their care requires them to not be a part of large groups on a regular basis, or if a person is pregnant or having childcare, then they can also receive that special dispensation per California's rather strict guidelines. I think it's California, not San Francisco. Other than that, everyone else is expected to abide by our attendance requirements. Yeah, we would love it if this position could actually appear in person, but it's also understandable. Like if his bosses have barred him from coming, then there has to be that special dispensation.
Any more discussion on the applicant? Okay, so I guess we could make a move to approve his application for the full council to approve, right? Mark, yeah.
Yeah, someone should make a motion in a second.
I move.
Second.
Right, then we will be moving this forward to the full council.
Like all of those in favor.
Oh yeah, all those in favor.
Opposed. All right,
then it will be moving forward to the full council. And then I think I can take whatever is next and pull up that agenda. All right, yes. So notice of attendance is to be sent. So the first one would be to Elise Griffin. And then the second would be to Manuel Vasquez. Do you want to give a little bit more context, Kat?
Sure. So Manuel missed both membership and full council last month, and then membership in April. And then Elise has missed most of the council affairs, her home committee meetings, since she's been a part of the council. She didn't attend, she's only attended two council affairs meetings since last April, and has received courtesy reminders about her home committee as well.
Would it be wise to maybe ask her to move to another committee that's suitable for her schedule?
I think it could be. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
No, off you.
Okay. I think we could always ask Elise. We have given Elise a lot of leeway, I will say. But she has really been insistent on not taking an LOA or not taking a step back. So really at this point, notice of attendance is kind of just the route we're going.
She is also one of the people, one of the two people who has special dispensation since she was pregnant and is right now has child care for her new child. Why am I still repeating? That's so strange.
I don't know. Maybe it's just electrifying. That's why.
But I feel like it's not just me. Anyway, now I'm.
You come and go. It comes and goes.
Maybe it's.
It looks like.
There's like an echo where I am.
Yeah, I'm going to blame Kira for this. I think Manuel had his hand up.
Yes, I just kind of want to discuss me being on this list. So, you know, I usually always RSVP, and I know I think it's been excused or whatever we may say about it. But I guess for this committee, so I have, you know, my full-time job. I work for the city and county. And unfortunately, we do have mandatory all-staff meetings that unfortunately have conflicted with this. It has been something that has been a concern on my mind, like maybe I should resign and get someone to fill my spot if I'm not able to attend for job-related matters. Also, because my role is housing, I'm kind of a little confused and a little annoyed, like, why is this an issue? But I do need to probably be reminded of the policies and procedures and everything like that. So, yeah, I just want to ask, like, are there exceptions made for government employees that can't, they have mandatory, you know, staff meetings or not?
There's not any exceptions actually made for anyone who's a council member. So that includes government appointees, service providers, and consumers, with the exception of people who are HIV positive. It's not really an exception. The difference is that everyone in general has two excused absences. Is that correct, Kat?
I believe it's one excused absence.
Per quarter?
Yes.
So one excused absence per quarter. And a person with HIV who is sick with HIV-related illness has an unlimited number of excused absences. Is that correct? Yes. So that's the case for all council members, including government appointees. That's the policy. Of course, if you feel like that policy is unjust, we actually are doing a policy review over at steering currently.
Okay. Well, worst case scenario, let's say I have some more mandatory ones that I can't, or I'll get in trouble at my job. What would happen? Would I be asked to leave? Is this what this looks like? Warning, I'll get a warning letter and then automatic removal?
No. Oh, no, no, no. There's a whole process there with like warning and then probation, but also membership, not only is your home committee, membership does strive to meet council members where they're at. So if you are a person who can explain, like you just did, that I am not making these meetings, not because I don't want to come, but because of these actual staff meetings I have to do. It's up to membership. Like membership does not necessarily have to be punitive if there's rationales. As we mentioned with Elise, and has certainly been the case with other council members, membership has almost always, no, I'd say always strove to really meet people where they're at. So, I mean, even if I don't mind mentioning Elaine, like Elaine, the co-chair of this committee, it's public information, has also received warnings. I certainly did also when I was on the council, often for work-related things that I was just like, but I couldn't come though because my boss was, et cetera. So I think if you explain yourself to membership should be able to meet you halfway. You might get a letter of warning, but as far as automatic removal, I think that's a very unlikely situation, especially for a council member, any council member who has made a commitment to show up and not just show up, to occasionally do presentations to the council. So I guess if this were happening to me, I would not... I would be irritated like you, I think, but I also would be like, okay, well, I guess that's the policy, but I still want to be on the council. And in fact, I was appointed to the council. So I guess that's how I would take it. I'm not you. I certainly don't want to say like, you should act this way and think this way or feel this way, Manuel, but do know that I empathize with your irritation. At the same time, the folks who put together the policies, I was there, were really trying to make sure that there was equality between government appointees, service providers, and consumers. So they really tried to keep as much as possible everyone sort of in that same place, even though we know that different people in different positions have different abilities to actually make meetings.
Okay. And in point of clarification, because I think with the full council meeting, I think I was told by you, Mark, that you can miss up to six essentially before, I guess, an action happens. Is that correct?
It depends on, so
like you said, every other essentially.
Yeah. It's essentially a formula. So if you look at the formula, it's how many absences in within a particular quarter, how many absences, would that be, Kat or Kira, before you sort of get on the membership list?
Usually 2 to 3. That's when I start bringing it to everyone's attention.
Yeah. So there's a multi, like if you look at a quarter, you know, being 3 months, that does mean a sizable number of meetings can be missed before it comes to membership's attention.
Okay. But that is different than missing a committee meeting. Like they're not the same, like the number and the formula, or is it?
It's absences in general from either committee or full council meeting. So if you miss, like, let's say within a particular quarter, you miss 2 meetings, then that's not going to necessarily be a problem. Anything above 2 will potentially get a letter of warning saying you're coming to be out of compliance. So as far as every other council meeting within a quarter, that would be 2, you know, as long as you're making your committees.
I guess that's where I'm getting confused. So when you said you could miss 6, essentially every other, but then you're saying it by quarter. Can you help me break that math down? So like, where did the 6 come in, or every other? Like essentially, when would that be a perfect scenario, essentially, right? Like,
so 3 months. So let's say there's 3 months in a quarter, and that's 2 meetings per month.
Okay.
That would equal a total of 6 meetings. And if you missed 2 of those, that would leave 4 meetings that you'd have to attend to still stay within compliance and not get on our list. If you start missing above, then that will get you on the list. And so if you were able to hit all of your home committees, but we're only able to come to every other planning council, that's just 2 out of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Or depending on the month, like less than 2 possibly.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I mean, I don't mind these questions at all because it is a little confusing, right? It's like based on a particular formula, and you just have to remember like 6 meetings in a 3-month period, I can miss 2. And you'll be on track, because we also know, you know, life happens. And if you also, if you put in an excused, that's essentially like that extra as well. Once per quarter. It gets a little funky because in December we don't meet. And so it's not necessarily like fall, winter, summer, spring. So that's why we do it by every 3 months.
So Manuel, I hope that kind of alleviates your concerns. I think if you have any more questions about attendance in particular, you could do it off. With Mark at any time, right?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Manuel. I understand that Elise Griffin, we have to discuss whether to send a notice of attendance. Is it because she's not in maternity leave?
She still is, I think. Oh, I'm sorry, Kira, maybe you have better info.
Yeah. So, no, Elise currently isn't on maternity leave. She did let us know, correct me if I'm wrong, Kat, but she did let us know that she wanted to return. And so that's why she's on the list. But we did actually take that parenthetical away. So now we're just sending Elise a notice or a warning.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
All right. And then moving on to letters of probation to be sent. We do have Juba Kalamka on this list. And this is going to be just a warning for automatic removal. Unfortunately, Juba has not been attending any of the meetings in the last couple of months. We have been reaching out to Juba, and we'll ever occasionally get an email back, but it is very occasional and very rare. And we haven't heard back from Juba recently, unfortunately.
When is renewal due? Because we have it every 2 years, right?
Say that one more time.
When is his renewal due?
Oh, his renewal? So we do them every 2 years. So the renewal would be due next year.
Okay. Far away.
Yeah.
So on this, Lex, can you hear maybe that?
Sorry, yes.
So, unfortunately, this does mean that Juba is on the path towards automatic removal because Juba has not been in recent contact with us and has missed everything, basically, just so that we know. This is the second step towards that.
That's unfortunate. I just saw him today, too.
Can you remind him that there's a council that wants him to come back?
I absolutely can. Yeah, he was here at SFDHC for the HIV Advocacy Network thing.
Or not. Honestly, like, if a person isn't coming, then perhaps they don't have interest in the council. I mean, to be honest, I don't want someone to show up just because they've been guilted into it. Like, people should show up because they want to, or because, like, they've been put in a particular position where they're representing something. And Juba is in the former, as far as like a person who's not an appointee, who, like, if they have lost interest, then
yeah,
they have.
I understand.
All right. And then moving on to current leaves of absences, we do have Na there, who will be returning in July. We have Gwen Smith, who's also going to be returning in July, and then Raina, who is going to be training in July as well. And if there are any more requested LOAs next month, we'll see that on here as well. And that is all I have for the attendance report. We can now move on to carry forward allocation.
All right, so I will share screen momentarily. Carry forward for our newer members is leftover dollars that were unspent by different CBOs. Dollars from their actual contracts, actual Ryan White Part A dollars. They're unspent for a variety of reasons, but the biggest reason is because there have been staff vacancies. A lot of times this is at no fault of the CBO, but it does mean we have money left on the table. We don't want to return that money to HRSA. We want to be able to spend it down. And therefore, we have a carry forward allocation discussion and vote every year, because every year there is money left on the table. These funds can only be used within the contract year. So they'd have to be spent down by February of next year, as our contract year runs from March through February. And therefore, they cannot be funding ongoing projects. They have to fund things that can be spent down, again, within that contract year, with no guarantee of future funding. What usually happens, and by usually I mean possibly like in the past 15 years or so, is that DPH will consider two different kind of ways of looking at how to spend this money. The first way is kind of the usual suspects, service categories that are considered particularly important by consumers that can definitely spend down this money with no problem. Those kinds of service categories have included vouchers, they have included food, and they've included money, i.e. emergency financial assistance. The second way that they've been spent down is to support one-time only projects or pilot projects, again, with no expectation of continued funding. So examples of how this has been spent down has been to support different events, to have a pilot project for straight Black male support group, lockers for homeless and marginally housed, et cetera. So special projects that might lead to funding elsewhere, but not with future carry forward funding. So DPH looks at that and also looks at what they've heard throughout the year from the Planning Council and from the needs assessment conclusions, if appropriate. And they come to the council with a set of recommendations as well as a dollar amounts that are next to those recommendations. It is then up to the council to accept or change and or update these recommendations, including the dollar amount. So again, this is under the council's purview. This is merely a favor, a set of recommendations done by DPH for the council so that the council can make an informed decision. Any questions about carry forward in that process before I share screen and show you the recommendations? Right. What I'm about to share is actually on the floor for a vote. It wouldn't need to be moved or seconded because it started at community engagement and then it moved to council affairs. If this committee approves, whether it's updated or not, it will then move on to steering and from there to the full council meeting this month. So let me now share screen. All right. Do you all see that? So you'll see with the top two that these are, again, sort of in the usual suspects category. The first one is food, and this was where the largest amount was recommended, about $288,000. This is not only an area that is very popular with consumers, it's an area where, again, can be spent down very easily, and it's a particular focus area for DPH because the service provider who provides the bulk of the services has just received a sizable cut from DOS. And so that's a problem. And this goes a small way of hoping to ameliorate the potential impact on the community. The second one is emergency financial assistance. This is a very popular service category for consumers because people need money to pay rent, to pay different things. You'll see here that the amount recommended was a little less than $200,000. It's $190,000. What we don't see are vouchers. The reason behind that is because HHS has realized that the new restrictions on vouchers by the current mayoral administration makes it in their eyes, impossible for them to be able to actually distribute vouchers. There's a whole set of restrictions that I wish I could speak to more specifically, but I can't, that make it way too big of a challenge. And this is a very recent thing. It's unfortunate, but that's why you're not seeing them here. And then the second two things are, I guess, what you'd call special in the special projects category, which, again, there is certainly no guarantee of any kind of future funding for these projects. They're very time sensitive. One of them is under other professional services and a support for additional legal services interns. A better address, I guess, what's considered emerging legal needs. And that perhaps might be due to the current political climate. But also due to the ongoing housing crisis and the complications that could emerge as we come from eviction moratoriums that occurred during the pandemic. And then finally, under the service category, psychosocial support is to actually support a weekend event. It's basically a town hall for long-term survivors and providers of services to come together and to share their stories, to just talk about their experiences. There will also be a report summarizing findings and recommendations from the town hall. Although this will be administered by a national group called the Reunion Project, this does have to go to a particular CBO to here locally to support. All right. So those are the four recommendations. They passed with, I think, minimal changes at community engagement and council affairs. And they are now here before you today for your review and potential update and potential approval. Any discussion on this motion that's on the floor for use of carry forward funds? JP? JP Soto.
Sorry, I couldn't find my buttons here. Can you share what the changes were along the way before it got to us as is now?
The only change that occurred was the removal of the name of the national service provider, national agency, the Reunion Project. under the last suggested.
Okay. All right. No problem. Thank you.
Other than that, no changes.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, they felt, HHS felt that HRSA would have pushback on funding a specific entity, and they prefer to speak in broader service category based terms. Any other questions? All right. Well, if there's no more discussion, this does involve money, so we'll have to involve a roll call vote. So Elaine Flores.
Agree. Yes.
Ron Hernandez.
Yes.
Robert Arnold.
Yes.
Manuel Vasquez.
Yes.
JP Soto.
Yes.
All right, motion passes. We'll go to steering next, and then hopefully to the full council. Thanks, everyone. You have completed your duty.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, we'll move on to demographic information update. Kira?
Yeah, and I can take that. So I'll go ahead and share that first document. So first we have the EPI report. And so not much has changed, although I do want to note that the council did accept one new member. So our total number is now 30 members. So that was one big change. Let me go ahead and share the areas, which is a little bit more detailed. All right, here we go. So yeah. We had one new member. Our target areas still remain relatively the same, and that is Black/African-American, where we are under, and that's highlighted in red. And then, funny enough, we are under for male on the council in reflection with what we see in our EMA. And then, of course, youth. We are under in youth. But that does bring our total membership to 30. Our total HIV positive membership is at 43%, which is 13 people. And our non-aligned consumers is 8 people.
I was thinking, Mark, for youth, is if we had a representative or someone who is a provider for a youth service organization, could they fill in that seat even if they're not of that age?
Yes. This would not help us as far as changing that red to a white, but we would not consider that a particular target, much like male, honestly. Male is a different reason. We want to overrepresent those populations that are seen as underserved. And so women and folks who are of trans experience are considered underserved, and that's why it's okay that there's a red there in male. For youth, if there was a youth provider, it would be a similar situation with a different rationale. It would be okay if that red is there because we would have an actual service provider. Doesn't mean that we curtail any, doesn't mean that we block any actual youth who would apply, but I would at least be able to report to HRSA that we have a youth provider when it comes to our different seats.
Thanks.
All right, and that's all I have.
In some ways, you know, it's similar to, it's something that often gets overlooked, that we also can consider folks who are HIV affected, i.e. caregivers. So parents and siblings and partners of people with HIV can be considered an actual consumer because they're actually on the council, representing the interests of the HIV positive person that they're caring for.
Good. All right. So we'll move on to closing the meeting. Our next meeting is going to be July 10th. It will be in Zoom, I'm assuming. So Manuel will be doing Zoom. And I guess that's it, right,
folks? Oh, before we leave, I did miss the in-person meeting that's at the new Shanti offices. How do people feel about that?
I love the space. Beautiful.
So it's okay to meet there in the future if we can't get 25 Van Ness? I assume 25 Van Ness is still more convenient, right, than going all the way
I'm not sure. Macy's might be too close. I don't know how often I could go shopping there.
It is a neighborhood of many temptations, expensive temptations.
I just wanted to jump in and say that I can reserve spaces at 49 Van Ness. I do that for trauma-informed systems. We have those trainings. And so they do have really large groups. I don't know if y'all have been to the facility. It's right beside 1 Van Ness, so it's not it's really close to 25 Van Ness. They're all on the first floor, too, and it's a brand-new building, so it's really nice. But I can't always make the reservation as long as I know in advance. So if y'all have problems with 25 Van Ness, I'm happy to also reserve that.
Fantastic. All right.
Thank you, Manuel. Okay. Any more discussion before we close the shop? All right. Okay, so everyone can go home, or if you're already home, then just stay there. Relax.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the day. Bye-bye.
Bye. Happy
week. Bye-bye.
Kat, if I could have you for